Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast. In this episode, I have somebody special on the line with me. We've got Jonathan Hedrick. How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Joey.
You're welcome, man. So you've got a couple different things out right now, and you've got a handful of things. And one of them that kind of got me raising my eyebrows was one that's going to be coming out very soon from Scout Comics, which is The Recount. That is not the only thing that you've done, and it's not the only thing that you're working on right now, but that is definitely one of the ones that I was like, okay, I got to check this out. I heard from it. Obviously, I follow Scout a lot, and it's one of my favorite imprints right now. But I recently I partner with Silverbacks, and I know he's doing something special for that book right now. But tell us a little bit about The Recount, and then we'll get into your other work as well.
Cool. Yeah, The Recount is a four-part issue miniseries. I describe as a political thriller, but I don't want to scare anyone away when I say political, because it's not focused on politics. It's just basically the main focus is a vice president who's thrust into that acting president role after the commander-in-chief was assassinated by a Secret Service detail member, and then things just spiral quickly out of control after that. Mm-hmm. The conspirators make it known that they're not just going after the president, but they're going after everyone that put that president into power, including those that voted for him. Wow. And they release that information to the public to encourage the citizens of our country to go after one another as well. So it's just a real fast-paced, heavy action thriller that's going to have a lot of twists and turns where you don't know who's in power that you can trust anymore. So I'm really excited for people to see it and to read it. It's been a lot of work in progress to get it out to you. So can't wait to it's in everyone's hands.
Yeah, that one seemed really interesting to me when I read the premise and the log line there. And I was like, oh, man, this is kind of crazy. And then to be putting this book out around the time that in an election year, it's actually pretty funny. I encourage everybody to get out there and vote. This is not going to happen.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a very apolitical stance. I like to tell everyone when I'm talking about this book that it has no agenda. These are all fictional characters that are in here. I make sure that the words Republican and Democrat are never said in there. So it's not going in there. I'm actually interested in seeing what people say after they've read it. If they feel like it was directed one way or another, because I honestly feel it could go either way. It's not about sides. It's more about corruption within the highest power of leadership.
And that's absolutely crazy, especially with all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world right now. I don't want to get into all that political debate stuff. You could talk about all that off air, but because we're here to talk about you and your career. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually waiting on my ash can for that one, because right now we can't get the full story quite yet. When is that one going to be dropping?
The issue one's dropping November 11th.
Awesome.
So it's in previews right now. So if you go to your local comic book store, you can order that right now. So it'll be in your pull box.
Sweet. Yeah, I can't wait for that one. Really exciting. I was watching Brian do his variant cover of that one. It was really cool. It's kind of an homage to like Scarface. So
That's right.
I loved it, and he kind of turned me on to that one, and I started looking at it. And then my partner on another podcast that I do, he's like, I'm waiting for my ash can, man. So we were going to talk about it on the other show, but we're like, we're going to wait till we can actually get the book out so we can talk about it in further detail. But man, it's such a cool premise, and I'm excited to read it and see that one come out. But another one that I read from you, which actually kind of intrigued me. And at first I'm going to be honest with you, man. At first when I looked at it and I read the log line, I was like, okay, maybe I will be into it. Maybe I won't. But when I read it and I got into it a little bit further, I was like, I can be down with this one. And that one is Capable.
Right. Yeah.
That one, it actually, dude, you surprised me on this one.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely.
I'm glad to hear that.
Because like I said, I went into it a little weary. I was like, okay, will I be into this? Will I not? I don't want to be, I want to be honest with you and tell you that because we're comic book readers and sometimes that happens. You read a book, you're like, okay, I'm going to like it. And then you're like, oh, well, it wasn't for me. It happens. But, you know, I went into it thinking, okay, maybe not. And I definitely, after reading the first issue, I was actually surprised, and I need more, man. So I kind of like this. So talk to us a little bit about that one. Let everybody know, the log line on Capable, and it's a really interesting story.
Yeah. Capable is a superhero book that, takes a what if concept, and it is what if one day people around the world that are handicapped wake up with a superpower that's opposite of their disability. So that idea came to me, and I was like, wow, you know, there's so much story that you can tell with that, because not everyone's going to do the right thing. I'd like to think that, you know, that people are, and I don't identify with the people with disabilities. I'm definitely not pandering to them. And I hope that anyone that reads it doesn't get that, you know, doesn't come out thinking that, you know, that's what I'm trying to do is to pander. I tell it how, from the perspective that I just see it. And I'm not on anyone's soapbox, but imagine what it would be like if you were, you know, ridiculed for some type of disability that you had. Mm-hmm. And then one day, you're superpowered. What would you do with that? Some people could do the right thing. Some people could do the wrong thing. So the first two issues, we see more origin story of our main character, Derek, who is in a wheelchair. And then he wakes up and now he's a speedster, and his life just changes very quickly. And we're going to see how more of the world is like from Derek's point of view throughout this series.
Yeah, it was an excellent first strong issue when I read it. And like I said, I went into it a little weary, but then at the end of it, I was very excited to kind of go further into the series. And and how many issues of this one have you put out so far? Is it completely done?
So far, two issues. Third issue is almost done. Probably gonna crowdfund that one later on the year. I have a very busy second half of 2020.
Yeah.
So it could be done before then, but you know, I honestly rather have it done and, you know, sitting on the shelf and ready to go, then, you know, the opposite where I need to get it done and things aren't complete yet. So, and there's also going to be a 10-page short story that runs concurrent with the happenings of issue one called Harry's Day. And he read issue one. So, you know, his buddy Harry also gains superpowers.
Yeah.
And you see what happens during his journey on that first day. That's going to be out later in a different Kickstarter with a couple other indie guys that are showcasing, you know, small short stories of their properties. So I'm really excited about that. And it'll probably eventually, when a trade comes around, that story will be involved in it too. So
that was
more to come for Capable.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, because when I read that, I was like, I want to know a little bit more about his story. Because we find at the end of this first issue that something, you know, a little tragic happens. I don't want to give it any spoilers here. I want people to go out and grab it and kind of read it for themselves. But something definitely happens to one of the characters, the main characters in this story. where you kind of feel like you're like, oh man, this is, I really like the relationship between the two main characters, and now there's a loss here, and I want to see where this kind of goes, this kind of feeling from this other main character where he loses a friend and stuff like that. And, and kind of see how he kind of reels back from that, and especially going through this thing where he has he's no more incapable, he's capable. And I don't know if that's anyway. So yeah, man, I was really excited to kind of see that. And I'm excited to see that come to Kickstarter, man. You got to let me know when that drops, because I'm excited to. I'll definitely help you guys out there. Cool. Thank you. And you got a couple other books. You got Freak Show. I know you're working on some other stuff. What else are you working on, man?
Yeah. So Freak Show Princess is a book I did last year. It's a zombie one-shot horror book. And it's kind of like in the style of Night of the Living Dead, very George Romero feel to it. That story is a woman who's trapped inside her boarded house with zombies piling up in the outside, and she's trapped in there with her dog. And I wrote that and put it out just thinking, you know, I'm going to leave it alone. That's a one shot. It ends pretty cut and dry. But the feedback I got from it was people were like, all right, what happens next? I'm like, I kept on hearing that over and over and over again. I'm like, no, it's a one shot. And people, they were not accepting that as an answer. So, you know, I sat on it for a while and you know, I didn't want to force anything, but another story in that universe came to me organically. And so it's also a one shot that takes place in the same universe, but you're not really seeing the same characters. So that's called Freak Show Night, K-N-I-G-H-T. And I'm going to kickstart that one next week. Probably when this episode airs, it'll probably be live by that point.
Awesome. Hopefully. Yeah, man. That's freaking awesome. I can't wait for that one too, because you know, I am a fan of zombies, man. My wife hates it because I'll watch it right before bed and she's like, no, she won't even walk into the room if I'm watching anything zombie genre, because she's like, no, I'm gonna have nightmares, don't you dare. So I love that stuff, man. So I we're gonna go to a quick break here. Cool. But before we go to the break, I want to ask you a little bit of a question. I want to get into kind of your creative process and stuff like that. I need to know what you do to kind of get yourself in this mindset, because all three of these books that we talked about, they're all different. They're all completely different. And I know, with me, when I think about different things like this, I got to have a completely different mindset going into something like that. So I need to know how you kind of, what was the kind of difference between the three different books and how you went into there with your mindset a little bit. So when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit about that.
Sounds good.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and we're back. And before the break, I talked to you a little bit about kind of getting into your mindset about how your creative process goes and when you do these different projects, because we got three different books. They're all three different genres. They're all three different kinds of things. I want to know how you what you did, and was there anything that kind of stayed the same, or did you what did you have to do to get into the mindset for each of these books, man?
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to kind of explain, because sometimes it just happens. It could be just a random idea, but I like to calling back to when we were talking about capable is the what if ideas, and you know that can really branch out into a lot more storytelling when you change one variable in our world that and turn it and make it fictional. Then it opens up a lot more storytelling. So, and then I draw in my own experiences and what I'm seeing in front of my eyes on a daily basis. And then I just run with it. Those three titles are completely different genres, but they all come to me in the same way. So
awesome. So is there a certain thing that you find yourself always doing? Do you got to have it like super quiet, or do you blast music? Do you do those kinds of types of things?
Yeah, when I'm actually like writing, there's no TV on, but I can't have any, I listen to music without lyrics. I'll put on like instrumental scores from movies, mm-hmm. or there's several like rock bands that are, I think they go by the genre of atmospheric rock Signal Hill is a big one I like to listen to, Explosions in the Sky, L-1011, yeah. Ambient rock. I think that's the genre they go by. So that's perfect for writing. And then I'll do a lot of brainstorming when I'm at the gym too. So at the gym, I'm listening to, I'm listening to metal, or I'm going to hip hop or techno or EDM. Mm-hmm. I'm going back and forth. And then I start seeing things and laying like the scene out in my mind. Yeah. So that helps when I go back, sit down on the couch and get the notepad out and start writing it all out, brainstorming and fleshing it all out. So, music plays a big part of it for sure for me.
And do you keep journals with you everywhere you go and to like jot stuff down?
Not everywhere I go, mostly because I'm afraid I'm going to lose the journals. But I do use the old school spiral bound notepads that you would probably use back in middle school.
Yeah.
I love it because I lay it out the same way as a comic would be. So all the page 1, 3, 5 are all on the right. All the even numbers are on the left. So I'm writing it how it would be seen if you laid the comic book flat. That's when I start working on the art direction and the dialogue. Before all that happens, I write down all the page numbers and I put a brief description of what I want to happen on each of those pages and I go back to that page all right, what was I going to do on page 4 again, on page 5, where did I want that splash page, things like that. So I go into it with a plan, a rough outline, and things just kind of flesh out after that. And then what's best about me doing it by hand is that's a good first draft. I'm gonna have to type it up eventually. So then when I type it up, I'm actually, that's now my second draft.
So are you
weird process?
Well, no, that's a really interesting process, because if I did something like that, I probably would do very similar to the way you did, because I would have to, if I'm writing a comic book, I'd have to write it out the same way that I would see people reading it, and it makes sense, man. So do you feel like some of your stories kind of differ from the first draft to the final draft, like a lot, like drastically, or do they really stay really close to each other? Because I know when I do, just fun writing and stuff like that, I can start with something and it completely changes to a completely different story from what I thought it would be from the very beginning. And I'm like, sometimes I get mad at myself. I'm like, man, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I started out with. But now it's this. And I'm just like, I guess it's going to be something.
Yeah, sometimes it evolves into something else. With the recount, the ending that I have planned for the first arc is definitely not what I had in mind from the very beginning, which I'm glad it grew that way, because now I've opened up doors to several more arcs, because my first idea was to it was going to cut it off. It was just going to end on that fourth issue. Okay. So now there's more recount that can be told. So that, really excited about that.
Awesome.
As far as Capable goes, with that being an ongoing series, hopefully an ongoing series, I'm just taking that one issue at a time. I'm letting it just kind of go with the flow and just, I have an arc, an ending for an arc in mind, but it has its own different process.
Do you find that when you do that kind of process where you evolve the story, do you have do you go back sometimes and be like, well, I'm not happy with that. It's great, but I think I wanted it to stay that way. Are you happy with it a lot of the times, or do you find that you're not happy and then you just have to kind of, crumple it up and throw it in the trash can full of pieces of paper crumpled up?
Yeah, that can happen sometimes. Thankfully, not more often than not. Sometimes if I have a section of the issue that's more challenging, I'll just come back to it.
Okay.
Because I could have a certain page in mind later on that I know exactly what I want on that one. I just don't know how we get there yet. Mm-hmm. So I definitely knew I wanted that one hallway fight scene, you know?
Yeah.
And I have that one fleshed out all the way, but I don't quite know how to get there. So that's where that outline at the beginning of the writing process really helps out.
Cool, man. So let's talk a little bit about Kickstarter. You mentioned Kickstarter. Do you, how many times have you Kickstarted something?
Three, and I've had two successful. The very first one was me not knowing what I was doing. I've learned a lot since then from other people in watching other, following other campaigns and really doing more research. So, I've had two successful Kickstarters, and hopefully this third one that's going to launch soon is successful. So there's a lot to it. A lot of people don't realize a lot of planning involved in it. It's a lot of marketing, it's a lot of self-promotion. It's not that easy. And I'm very envious of the people that can just do it and just, there's an extra $30,000.
That's one of those things that we see a lot. When you got a big name and you just sneeze a Kickstarter and it just funds in an hour for $60,000. You're like, that's not everybody can do that. And you could be a really good writer or an artist and kickstart something. And it takes time and it takes hard work and stressful nights.
Lots of nail biting for sure.
I bet, man. I am deathly afraid of Kickstarter, man. I'm like, if I was ever to try to get anything out, I don't know what I would do. That's something super scary for me. And I've heard that quite a bit from creators that it's scary. It's stressful. And you're always on edge. You're like, what's going to happen? Am I good enough? There's always self-doubt to go with it as well. So how do you find yourself kind of combating that a little bit when you do a Kickstarter?
The best thing to do is go in with a solid plan and don't go into it hoping that the Kickstarter is going to fund every single cent that you put into it or you're going to put into it after that. Look at Kickstarter or any of the crowdfunding platforms as something that's a boost, you know, that's going to get you that little extra amount. Maybe you weren't going to, maybe you couldn't afford colors, but now you can afford colors because of it. And definitely don't look at it as a store. That's, I think that's where a lot of crowdfunding campaigns are going wrong. They're just treating it as just another store. They have everything's completely done. And now they're just asking you, for your money. There needs to be a reason why, you need this extra funding. Okay. Can you, is everything done, but you just can't afford to mail it out to people? That's a good reason for it.
Okay.
Or do you want to add more pages to it? Do you want to add more special covers? Do you want to add a soundtrack and everything? Give people a reason to, other than just, buying it. Cause Then when it gets published by someone and then it's in the store, it's like, why did I drop $15 on it on your Kickstarter? Now I can get it for $3.99 and support my local comic book store. Again, I can't stress enough. It needs to be, a good reason for it. So that's what I have in my mind the entire time.
Like,
are people going to get more out of this than if it was just sold in the store?
I'm glad you answered that because I was going to ask that question. Do you usually have everything done? Do you have the story done? Do you have everything kind of fleshed out and ready to go before you kickstart it? And you're just kind of funding it to pay the artists and pay people, script writers and things of that nature. So I'm glad you mentioned that because that's always one of those questions that I ask when somebody kickstarts them. How do you do it? Do you just have the story and you got to pay for everything, or do you have it all ready to go and you're just kind of distributing it and that's what you're funding?
It's good to have something to show people that it's in progress. There's all kinds of different crowdfunding campaigns, mm-hmm. just comic books, you know, movies and gadgets and whatnot.
Yeah.
As far as comic books go, you can't just have a script and expect people to back you. You're going to have to put some of your money into it, your own money, and shows and pages that are complete. Who's mm-hmm. going to be doing your pencils, your ink, your colors, your lettering? How are you going to, after it gets funded, what's your next step? So it's a thin line between, you know, having nothing done and having everything done. So it's about where you're comfortable. And also, you don't want people, you don't want to take people's money and then still not put the book out for six more months.
Oh,
and they, you know, they totally forgot that they even backed you. And then they get something in the mail and like, what's this? Oh, yeah, I forgot that I even backed that. And by that point, you're probably, you're not going to review it. You know, a lot of people, you know, do unboxing and reviewing, but they forgot about it. So they're not interested in your product anymore.
Yeah. So. Completely understand that. I've heard some horror stories where people have waited a few years for some work and it's been funded and they've taken the money, but they haven't received anything for years and years. So
that's sad. Yeah. Thankfully, that's never happened to me as a backer and a project manager. My goal is to get it out to you the next month.
Yeah.
Because I always have a retailer tier, and I want those stores who have trusted me into getting product into their store to have that on hand as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think the most successful Kickstarters that I've seen have some really great affordable tiers. They also have some really amazing stretch goals to kind of help people, you know, get the word out there. If you've already backed it, you know, share it out so other people can back it so you can help us reach the goal. And if you reach this goal, you get this really cool print, this limited edition print or whatever you kind of put out there, pins and all kinds of really cool stuff that I see people doing. So those things have excited me to share things out. So yeah, man,
absolutely.
I think there's a right way and a wrong way to kind of kickstart something. And
definitely.
I thank God I haven't come across any of the bad, horrible nightmares. Yeah. So
yeah, they're out there, unfortunately. Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's how it is, man. All right, man. So let's go ahead and close out the show here for a little bit. I don't want to keep you too long.
Cool.
Man, I'm excited for Recount. I'm really excited for Capable, man. Like I said, I was going into it with a different thought process, and now I'm on board. Like that, if that,
awesome.
I don't know if that's like a testimony to your writing and your kind of your creative process there, man. But when somebody can do that, I think that's pretty awesome. Especially me coming from into it as a reader, when I'm like, oh, this doesn't look like a book that I'd like. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna purchase it, whatever the thing may be. But and then I come out of it and be like, I'm on board. I'm on board now.
Thank you.
So I think that's pretty awesome when you can kind of come back and change somebody's mind.
Yeah, much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. So let everybody know where they can find you, where they can find your Kickstarters, your books and all that good stuff. Let everybody know right now.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Jonathan Hedrick. My handles are basically my full name without the vowels in it. If you still type in my name, I'll still probably pop up near the top because of how much I search myself. Gotta make those analytics boost for me.
I understand that, man. I understand. Like,
whatever.
My wife makes fun of me all the time because when I on the day that I release my shows, she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm listening to the show." She's like, "Why are you listening to yourself? You don't hear yourself more often." I was like, "Well, I gotta boost the analytics."
You're right. Yeah, someone's gotta do it. As far as the Kickstarter, it's going to be called Freak Show Night, KNIGHT. But I'll be posting information on that on Facebook, on tons of different comic book groups on Facebook.
Awesome.
So if you follow any of those, you're probably going to see it and get annoyed by how much you see it. Instagram, Twitter, those are the best social media outlets for me.
Super cool, man. Again, check it out. You got Freak Show Night, right?
Yep.
Freak Show Night coming out. And then the Recount, man. I'm excited for Recount. Man, I got to have you on my other show. I don't know if you know. I'm sure you know that. I'm going to be launching another podcast.
Two Scout
Geeks coming out this if you guys are listening to this, it would already happen. But the following Monday, from as we are recording this, you guys have either heard the first episode or you're going to hear the first episode. But
yeah,
we
can do that around the time the recount issue one comes out. Maybe after you've read it or something. Or
heck yeah, man!
If you get advanced copy, I know scout guys like you and your co-host for that show. So
yeah,
who knows? We can promote that then. That'd be awesome. I would love to come back and talk about that.
Yeah, man, we'll have you on the show. We'll have you on Two Scout Geeks or something, dude. That'd be really cool.
We'll talk
some more. I'll have my partner John P on. We'll talk to you a little bit about recount, because I know he's excited about it. He's already got the ash can. Well, I think he said it's in the mail. If he hasn't received it already, I think it was a few days ago that he said he was waiting for it. He does the scout box. So it came in the scout box, and I think he was waiting on his. So man, I am excited for that one. We'll have you back on that other show. So make sure you guys check all your podcatchers for Two Scout Geeks coming up very soon. If it's already out, if you're listening to this one the following week, it's already out. So check it out. So we'll see you guys next time. Thanks, Jonathan, hanging out with me, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime, dude. We'll see you next time, man.
Cool. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Thanks again for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez, and I'll see you later.